It's good to be back with you all. I missed you last Sunday. Stephanie and I were with her parents on Imperial Beach. We had a nice time on the pier there, and I've been to the piers a few times, and I never saw anybody catch fish. And they were catching these little things. I don't know what they were, but they were flopping all over the pier, and it was kind of fun to see. Then we went and had lunch and had a good time, and had a good time up in Ronnie's hometown, St. Luis Obispo and Pismo Beach, but it's always good to come home. It's always good to be back with you all here. Ephatha, an Aramaic word which means be open. Ephatha. Used to be the case that traditionally, the Sunday on which the gospel that proclaims that particular word and the healing of the man who was both deaf and dumb, not able to speak, not dumb in a silly sense, would be called Ephatha Sunday, Ephatha Sunday. Again, a good Aramaic word. Now, I can't imagine not being able to speak, but God doth have a sense of humor. So after I got through preaching at 8 o'clock, and we were doing the prayers of the people, I went to do that concluding collect, and I had a little tickle in my throat, and I couldn't speak. It was just a terrible thing. So if that happens again, I've had two cough drops and a bunch of water. It shouldn't happen again. But I had a friend, our neighbor actually, he was a very excellent, wonderful wedding photographer, and he was struck with a virus, and such that he could not speak. And he had to speak in his work to organize the bridal parties and things. And we would always talk over the fence. I'd see his dogs out, I have mine. And I'd, you know, yell over the fence, "Hey Matt, you know, how you doing, how are things?" And he'd say, "Hi Harold, you know, how are things?" So I saw him out there one day, and the dogs are out, so I know he's out there. And I did the same thing, "Hey Matt, how are you?" And I didn't hear anything back. And I thought, well, did I do something to offend him? You know, did I say something or do something? So I wandered over, and he could barely whisper. And he just said, I can't speak, and I'm not supposed to speak. And his whole life was really on the line. If he couldn't speak, I mean, I guess he could have somebody line up the people. It would have been very difficult. So this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and I didn't see him for a while. And then one day I saw him out there, and you know, I stopped saying, "Hey, Matt," because he couldn't talk. And I hear, "Hey, Errol." And he got his voice back, and he was so happy. His life was restored, and it was a wonderful thing. And a young guy, family, twins, the whole thing. But imagine not being able to both speak and to hear. I mean, what a dark world that you would think that you were, you know, enveloped in. And so Jesus does something miraculous, not just the healing itself, but he diverts his path where he was going. So he was performing miracles and preaching in the region of Galilee and Capernaum, which was to the south, and that was the Jewish region. He would have normally stayed there. He made a particular point to detour through Tyre and Sidon to the Decapolis, which was the area of the Gentiles. And of course, for Jews, Gentiles would have been considered, you know, pagans. They didn't know God. They maybe had other gods that they worshipped and did. But Jesus makes a particular point to go to that place. And even when he arrives there, the people have heard of the wonderful things that he has wrought, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, the casting out of demons. And so they bring him this man, who again, must have just been in a terrible state, not being able to hear, not being able to speak. You know, his life was worse than that of even lepers, because lepers, the disease, would have been quarantined, but at least they had each other, and they could speak, and they could hear, and they could, you know, interact. But this poor man had none of that, you know, couldn't speak, couldn't hear. So they bring him to Jesus. And Jesus does what seems like a rather peculiar thing, but we hear it in other passages of the gospel. You know, he spits and he touches the man. And then he takes his fingers and he puts them in his ears. Now this may seem, as I said, rather peculiar, but there were certain forms and certain ways that healing was done. It was thought that spittle had healing and curative properties. And it was thought that when you touch somebody, that was healing as well. But this is not just anybody touching this man and putting the fingers in the ears. This is the Son of God, Jesus himself, God himself. And so when he does that, what he's doing is he's pouring the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, into this man directly, both by the touching of the hand and the fingers and the ears. Now, it was ancient custom for many, many, many centuries that when people were baptized, and they were always baptized as adults until a certain point in the ancient church, that very same action was done. The priest or the bishop who was doing the baptism would put the fingers in the ears and say, "Epitha, be open." In other words, that your heart would be open, that your mind would be open, your soul would be open to that infusion of the Holy Spirit, that infusion of God's love. So that particular custom was transferred over. And so the man, of course, you know, is there. Jesus is doing these actions. But before he does the healing, he does two things. He sighs deeply. He has compassion with the man. He's there with the individual in the moment, realizing the anguish and the darkness and the horrible situation that he's in. And then, not pointing to himself, he looks up to heaven. He looks up to heaven because that is where the healing power is going to come from God the Father and the Holy Spirit through the Son. So he acknowledges the man's suffering, he acknowledges the man's darkness, and he calls upon the Holy Spirit and God and the power he has to bring him back to wholeness. And he is healed. And we hear and we're told that he speaks plainly. He speaks plainly. In other words, he's restored. Imagine the joy. Imagine the joy. I saw it on the face of my friend who got his voice back. And that was, you know, he still would have been profitable and happy with his family. But this man had his entire life restored. And he wasn't even Jewish. He was a pagan. And so God came even to him and begins to expand that sense of love and that sense of ministry outward to others. And now all are seeing it. And he says, you know, don't tell anybody. That's, you know, that's that Markan secret, that messianic secret. And why does he do that again? Because he does that so he doesn't point to himself, so people don't misunderstand who he is. He's not just some miracle worker, some wonder worker, who does these wonderful things, raising dead and healing the sick and, you know, casting out demons. He is the visible sign of God active in the world. It's the kingdom of God breaking in. And it's not that he doesn't want people to know, but that can't be fully known until his ministry is fulfilled in the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's only then will the disciples, then apostles, understand the power that was before them. And now they can't. Remember, they still aren't getting it. So there's some symbolism in the story, too. So as Jesus opens the mouth of this man so he could speak and opens his ears so that he can hear, he's telling the disciples, look, you need to be listening, not with your ears, but with your heart. And you need to know what to proclaim about what you see. You know, the goodness of God's mercy and grace and love in the lives of people breaking in. So it's a story of wonderful healing and compassion, and it's also a story that points to the disciples how they are to react and to minister to others as well. So, Epitha, are you open? I asked this morning. Are your ears open? Is your heart open? Is your mind open? Is your soul open? Yes?
Yes,
okay. So what does that mean? What does that mean? That means, somebody said? Love our neighbor, absolutely. But as St. James reminds us, right, not being only hearers of the word, but doers as well, right? Because we can hear all that we want to hear, and we filter it, right? And we take away what we want. But when we hear the word of God, and it penetrates our hearts, and it infuses our soul, and it inspires our spirits, we're called to do exactly what Jesus did. Perhaps even with people we don't like. You know, we're to share that gift of God. We're to share that gift of grace. We're to share that gift of healing. And that can come in so many small ways, not simply to be hearers of the word, but to be doers as well. That's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. That was the message of the healing, and that's the message that God leaves for us today. To be open again to the possibilities of how God moves through our lives so that we can touch others. That we can be true agents of transformation and change by the power and the love of God. Each one of us, as baptized Christians, has that power by the Holy Spirit in us already to share that gift of healing, to share that gift of grace, and to be open to the possibilities that God shows us in our lives as we interact with others. And in that way, we grow in grace, our church grows in grace, our lives grow in grace, our families grow in grace, our relationships grow in grace, because we're open. We're open to God's love and to God's possibilities. So, epitha to you. Be open in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are, and when you're filled with that Spirit, share it with others, that they may know to be open as well and receive that love of God in their hearts, their minds, and their souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.